The Old Testament reading is from the book of Esther, chapter 4, beginning from verse 1 to 16. When Mordecai learnt of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he only went as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's eunuchs and female attendants came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hatak, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Hatak went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text for the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hatak went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king." When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come into your royal position for such a time as this." Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." The New Testament reading is from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, beginning from verse 16 to 23. "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belonged to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with the things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, beginning from verse 16 to 18. Praise and glory to God. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others their face fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise
to God.
So when I was growing up, the time I got born again, I was working with an organization just after high school. And one of my friends and I, we wanted to fast. So we said, let's get to it. We planned 2 days that would only take water and get to just pray. Set and go. So we missed breakfast. We were together. We prayed. It was on a Friday. And the organization where I used to work in, Friday was actually the day that most of the people come. So, but it was that kind of a weekend we knew most people won't come. Oh, came midday. Our friends visited with amazing meals. Wow. 2 day fast turned into a 4 hour, and that was the end. We ended the fast in 4 hours very fast and kept going. We're in a topic, we're in a series of living well. And we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And if you're new, I will try to get you on board, but I will not be able to go all back. So you will stay with me, and I hope today will be a way that you'll be able to carry on with us. As I get into the meat of the body, I want of my sermon for today, I want to just get some things to your attention. In the last 2 Sundays, we've talked about giving and prayer. And this is a third of the 3 secret things which the Father rewards us when we do them in secret. 3 of them. The first one is giving, that your left hand needs not to know what your right hand is doing. The other one was prayer, and it said, if you're going to pray, go into the room, lock the door, and get to pray. Now we get into fasting. And the secret thing here is that people are not supposed to know that you're fasting. The Pharisees and the religious teachers were known for their public show. They came out and they wanted people to know that they were fasting. They were prayer warriors. But Jesus says we are to do these things to look and to get into a relationship with God, not in order to be seen by others. I want to get to the Old Testament. Just go through a perusement of what happened about fasting in the Old Testament. And during the Old Testament, God had commanded that the Israelites would fast during the Day of Atonement. That was the day that they fasted. But people often fasted. when they wanted God to hear their prayers. In times of war or in threat, when loved ones were sick, we remember David. When seeking God's forgiveness, we also remember the nation of Israel. When faced with impending danger, when seeking God's will. And the purpose of fasting was to humble themselves by afflicting their souls. They're believing that such humility will be pleasing in God's sight, and it so often did. However, there was a other side to it. Fasting would be fruitless when it was done ceremonially or it was done without repentance. Fasting definition is going without food or drink for a period of time. Typically, fasting is done for religious reasons and involves a person refraining from both food and drink, just as we read from Esther. I've been talking to some of my friends, and some of them were saying, you can fast from your phone, Facebook. And I was like, how does Facebook, when do you get to feel an hunger for Facebook? Your phone, your car, and people tend to think that you can fast from materialistic things. But this is not the place with God. Fasting is actually a place where you are denying your physical body what it needs to attain the most important need, and that is God. What is fasting in the Bible? We can say that God commanded Israel to fast during the period of atonement. We can say that God himself, while fasting, is an excellent truth of spiritual goal. Those with also problems which are health-wise. If you have a health problem, you might need to first get professional help or assistance, so that you can be able to get into fasting. Fasting in the Day of Atonement was actually a tool on one of the unholy days, and he commanded the Israelites that they were to fast, afflict their souls. What does afflicting their souls mean? It means that they were to search deep into their souls who they were. This holy day is associated with fasting, that one of its nicknames in the time of Paul was the fast. Let's look at fasting in the Bible. Why were people fasting? Fasting was an act of repentance. When the king of Nineveh ordered the fast after the preaching of Jonah, he ordered the people needed to fast because of what Jonah had brought forth to them. And they searched their hearts and noticed that they needed to repent. The prophet Joel also connects fasting and prayer for repentance. Now, in Joel chapter 2, verse 12 to 13, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Surrender your heart to your and your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness." Fasting is a way, is an act of repentance. Also in the Bible, fasting was also a reaction to intense grief. Remember David, when he lost his son, what did he do? He fasted when the son was sick. He was in grief. He fasted, never ate, to the point that his maidservants were worried about his health. But the moment that his son died, what happened? He went into eating. Why at that particular moment? While he was fasting, he was in grief, knowing that his son would go away. He was not in that place asking God not to do what he is supposed to do, but he was in a place of grieving, knowing that God is going to do what he is going to do. And when it's done, I don't need to continue mourning. I need to know that God has done what he needs to do. He has done what he has commanded. We also find that people fasted when God's deliverance was needed. Have you ever been in a position where you really need God to work out something for you? You need a miracle. Israel was such a country. They always needed a miracle. This is one of the best people. God used to call them his children. But if there are people who always needed miracles, well, Israel. No wonder he had to do miracles to them. They needed God to deliver them. King Jehoshaphat was approached by a large invading army. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask the help of the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord in 2 Corinthians chapter 20. The Bible also gives an instruction about our attitude and how we are to approach fasting. Jesus warned about hypocritical fasting, trying to show off or make others feel sorry for us. Fasting was also done to seek God's counsel in crucial matters. Esther, imagine you are in Esther's feet. She could not approach the king. The nation, there was somebody who was going to pay for them to be eliminated, all of them to be killed. And Mordecai puts all this pressure on Esther. What was Esther supposed to do? She cannot march in and go and see the king. She noticed that she needed counsel. She needed a miracle. She needed counsel and guidance. And only God could give. And she told the people, go and fast and pray. That when I go in, it will be all God. That's why she says, if I perish, I perish. That was meaning that God will go with me. If I go and I'm killed, just know it is that way. So be it. That is God's will. But if I go and things change, then so be it. The Lord has answered us. Fasting was also done in the New Testament to free people from demon possession. Jesus tells his disciples in Mark chapter 9, some of these things, some of these demons can only be sent away, can only be chased away through prayer and fasting. So how do we fast? How do we fast? The first thing that we need to do is that we need to be clean at our uttermost best. You can imagine today I'm looking this way, and tomorrow you find me wearing a sackcloth, and you ask me, what are you doing? I'm fasting. That is what the people, the Jews, used to do. Put ash in their head and wear sackcloth. Why does God say this? How do we need to look our best? We need to maintain our regular appearance. Be clean. Put oil on your hair. If you've never done it, make sure that day you do it. Put a lot of oil. Make sure you're shining the best that you can. Wash your face. Wash your face. Washing your face. If you are sleeping and you go to, and you know when you're waking up, you're really feeling still, they sleep, and you get to the sink, throw some cold water, it lightens up your face. That is what it means. Wash your face. Lighten up your face. Let your facial expression show life. The second thing about how to fast, we need to fast with the right attitude. Not to show. Just like giving the rule of the left hand to the right hand. Let it not be for show. For the Lord says, if you do it for show, surely you will receive your reward in full. If you ever do anything in Christ, let it not be for you. Let it be all for his glory. It says that if we do anything that takes that glory from him, the reward that we receive is just from people. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7 says, our attitude should be that as that of Christ, who being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, rather made himself nothing, humbled himself. Have a humble attitude when fasting. You need to have an humble attitude. And the second thing, you have to have an obedient attitude. God listens to a humble heart. When you go down, he will listen to you. But that is only the first phase of him listening to you. Are you obedient? Am I obedient? Because I might go humble, but not obedient. We need to be obedient. The third will be not without true repentance. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 3 to 9 says that we need to repent of our wrongdoing, so that as we go before God, we can be forgiven. And finally, the last thing on how to fast, we need to prepare and be armed. When Jesus was led into the wilderness, he was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert. When he got into the desert, 40 days he went through without food and without water. That's very hard. Don't try that. But after those 40 days, the devil came. What did Jesus answer the devil? He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. When he was tempted again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to test. Let me say that you need to prepare. We need to prepare when getting into fasting. Preparation is reading God's word and be armed with that word. The benefits of fasting is that when we fast, it humbles our soul. Psalm 35 verse 13 says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting. What is the other benefit of fasting? It chastens our soul. That is in Psalm 69, verse 10. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. How can we apply this then to our life today? I was going through this fasting and I was thinking about a story. How can we apply fasting, denial, self-denial into our culture today? We are consumerist kind of generation. And everything is about consuming, how much we consume. Consumer kind of relationship. Supply, demand. God says that we need to selflessly deny ourselves. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he said, whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever wants to follow me, must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Fasting is about denying yourself. Christianity is about denying thyself. Knowing God and loving God is about denying the devil the chance to take hold of your heart. I was looking at the story that has been happening in the States, a crime that happened, and it's about this guy called Botham Jean. And maybe if you've been following up on this story, there's a lady called Amber Geiger, and what happened, she's an officer with the Dallas police in the States. And while she was going home, she lives in an apartment, she was on her phone. And she mistook her house and entered into somebody else's house because the door was open. And when she went in, she noticed she saw somebody and didn't think, because she was on her phone, she removed a gun and shot this guy dead in his apartment. She has been jailed for 10 years in prison. The phone distracted her. What are some of the things that distract us from God also? How do we are in a culture where we are looking at climatic change. Climatic change, but part of the problem is being brought by us, because we can't deny ourselves from getting things and also disposing them, which is affecting the earth. Christmas is coming very soon. What can you deny yourself so that you can give to somebody who is needy? Because that is all about what Christianity is all about. It is a time of spending Christmas. But what can I deny myself and take it in secret and give and bless somebody who needs it more than I? We are also in a culture of disposable. Disposable cups, very soon disposable phones and cars, I hope. But here's the thing. We also dispose even friendships so easily. We are not in a place that we even deny myself for the betterment of somebody else. We only see self. Fasting, where God is actually saying that we need sometimes to deny ourselves of things that we think are right for us, but are right for somebody else, because that is right for the kingdom. I want to finish by saying this, that fasting is all about denying oneself to reach somebody else, and all for the glory of God. Remember, fasting is all about drawing closer to God, denying yourself something that you need in exchange of what He wills. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, teach us. Teach us, Lord, how to deny ourselves that what we need, what we feel that we can't do without. Teach us to deny ourselves so that we can be able to get what you have for us. Teach us to love others and to be practical with your word. And that even, Lord, as we fast, Lord, that our minds will be set upon that which is right. That it is not manipulating you, but allowing your kingdom to come and your will be done. So I pray for each of us, Heavenly Father. Lord, if there are places that need us to get into a place of fasting, may your Spirit lead us to that place. And may your Spirit not leave us, that when even the evil one tempts us, Lord, we will remember how you answered. It is written. So may it be written upon our lives as it is in heaven, Lord Almighty. And bless our lives, Lord, for the glory of your name, we pray. Amen.